The world of tech moves at an absolutely dizzying pace, right?
Oh, definitely.
It feels like every single week there's something new announced that changes how we think about computing, especially, you know, the foundational pieces like memory and storage and how AI is starting to weave into all of it.
It's certainly a dynamic environment, yeah. And the sheer volume of significant developments can be hard to keep up with.
Absolutely. And that's exactly why we're here. You've handed us a fantastic stack of sources, articles, research, your own notes, covering some really recent and impactful announcements across memory, storage, motherboards, and how AI is shaking up data management.
Right.
Our mission in this deep dive, to cut through the noise, pull out the most important nuggets and surprising facts, and give you that sort of supercharged shortcut to feeling genuinely well-informed on these specific tech updates.
Think of it as highlighting the threads, connecting these, well, seemingly disparate pieces of news, showing how they contribute to the bigger picture of where computing is headed.
Love it. Your personal guides through this material. I'm ready to jump in. And speaking of big pictures, let's start at the macro level with a piece of news that grabbed headlines, a massive investment happening in the U.S. semiconductor landscape.
What stands out immediately from the sources is the sheer scale.
Mm-hmm.
Micron is making an enormous commitment, approximately $200 billion, to expand its U.S. memory manufacturing and R&D capabilities.
$200 billion, that's not pocket change. What does that kind of investment actually involve on the ground? Like, what are they building?
Well, it covers building new facilities in Idaho and New York and modernizing an existing one in Virginia. Notably, a significant chunk, $50 billion, is dedicated purely to research and development.
$50 billion just for R&D. Okay.
Yeah.
And the sources frame this as being heavily backed by federal support, right?
They do, yes. Yeah. The sources state this effort is explicitly supported by SHEEP DPS Act incentives. That includes a finalized direct funding award of $275 million, specifically for the Virginia facility expansion. There's also mention of potential eligibility for other credits, like the Advanced Manufacturing Investment Credit, and support for proposed legislation to potentially increase and extend it. We're simply relaying what the sources indicate about the support structures involved.
Got it. So beyond just expansion, what strategic goals are the sources saying Micron is trying to achieve with this massive play? What's the end game?
There are multiple stated objectives. Bringing high bandwidth memory, or HBM, which is, you know, critical for AI accelerators, bringing those packaging capabilities back to the U.S. is a major one.
Ah.
They also aim to serve key sectors like AI, defense, and industrial applications, ultimately targeting production of 40% of their total DRAM output domestically.
40% of their DRAM in the U.S. Wow. That feels like a direct response to those past few years of supply chain headaches we've all heard about.
Precisely. The sources highlight this as a strategic move to strengthen the domestic semiconductor supply chain, which they view as essential for both economic stability and, well, national security.
Right. And the ripple effect on jobs. I imagine that's significant.
Micron projects the investment will create an estimated 90,000 direct and indirect jobs.
90,000.
Yeah. And to support that workforce, they're also investing over $325 million in workforce development programs across the relevant states.
It's interesting that the sources even included endorsements from other major players in the tech world about this, like quotes from CEOs.
Yes, quotes from leaders across the industry, from Microsoft, NVIDIA, Apple, Dell, AWS, AMD, Qualcomm, all underline what they see as the importance of this investment.
Mm-hmm.
They emphasize its role in driving innovation, job creation, securing the U.S. supply chain, and pushing forward leadership in areas like AI and high-performance computing. It clearly resonates as a significant development across the industry landscape mentioned in your sources.
So the first big takeaway here is that this isn't just a corporate expansion. It's framed as a major governmental and industry-backed strategic initiative to bolster the U.S.'s position in the global memory and semiconductor market with a specific eye on the demands of AI.
And speaking of AI demands, that brings us neatly to the cutting-edge memory technology itself.
Right. One of the sources dives into Micron's actual latest memory tech, HBM4. For anyone building or thinking about high-performance systems, especially for generative AI, here's where it gets really technically interesting.
Indeed. Micron is now sampling its next-generation HBM4 memory. This is absolutely critical because HBM is often the performance bottleneck for the most powerful AI chips.
So what are the headline specs that make HBM4 such a leap forward? What makes it tick?
It's built using a 12-high stack of DRAM chips, delivering 36 gigabit of capacity per stack. But the crucial number for AI performance is the interface width it uses, a 2048-bit interface.
Okay.
That doubles the bandwidth compared to its predecessor, achieving a sustained memory bandwidth of 2 terabytes per second. 2 TBs.
Double the bandwidth. Wow. For feeding those incredibly data-hungry AI processors, that's truly immense. So when can we expect to see this kind of performance showing up in actual systems?
Well, initial engineering samples are shipping now, apparently, with full production currently slated for early 2026.
Early 2026. Okay. And which major players are already lined up to integrate this cutting-edge memory? Any names mentioned?
According to the sources, NVIDIA is expected to use HBM4 in their Rubin Vera AI accelerators in the second half of 2026.
Okay, NVIDIA.
And AMD also anticipates incorporating it into their next-gen Instinct MI400 series, with more details expected from them next year, maybe at their Advancing AI conference.
Gotcha. So the chips powering the absolute forefront of AI will likely be relying on this new memory standard. What technical hurdles does Micron still face in bringing this to market? Anything tricky?
The sources point to managing the significant heat dissipation generated by this kind of performance.
Yeah, heat's always an issue.
And the extensive validation needed to ensure reliable performance in complex real-world deployments. Those seem to be the major challenges moving forward.
Okay, that makes sense. Right, let's shift gears from the bleeding edge of memory to something a bit more foundational, but still super important for how systems are built, motherboards.
Mm-hmm.
The sources cover some interesting new boards from Gigabyte, ASRock, and MSI, each targeting, well, different users.
What's interesting here is seeing the diverse needs being met from nostalgic PC builders to, you know, serious industrial applications.
Tell me about Gigabyte's new board first, the SoC Force.
Yeah, Gigabyte is actually reviving their SoC Force line, which had a bit of a cult following back in the day, with the B850M Force. This is a micro ATX board for AMD's latest AM5 platform.
Okay.
And the fun throwback detail. It brings back that striking orange color scheme from a decade ago, which I know some enthusiasts will appreciate, and even includes a PS2 port.
An orange motherboard with a PS2 port in 2025. That's a neat nod to the past, but it's packed with modern capabilities, right? It's not just retro.
Oh, absolutely. It supports the latest AMD Ryzen 9000 series processors, features a solid power delivery design and 8+2+2 phase VRM, which helps ensure stable power to the CPU. It has PCIe Gen 5 support for the main graphics card slot.
Right.
Supports DDR5 memory speeds up to 9600 MTs, offers 3 M.2 slots for fast storage, and includes 2.5 gigabit Ethernet, Wi-Fi 6E, and modern display outputs. It seems aimed at users who want a robust set of features in a more compact micro ATX size, and it even includes a feature called X3D Turbo Mode. Pricing and availability were still TBD in the source, though.
Okay, so a solid micro ATX option with a bit of flair. Now, from a consumer board with a retro vibe, we move to something for the industrial world. ASRock.
Yes, ASRock Industrial has launched a whole range of industrial motherboards powered by Intel's new Core 200S processors, often referred to as Bartlett Lake S, which can support up to 24 cores.
What makes a motherboard industrial? How are these different from, say, the Gigabyte one?
Well, these are built specifically for harsh or specialized environments and demanding applications, think smart manufacturing floors, autonomous robots, machine vision systems, complex retail kiosks, or digital signage.
Okay, rugged stuff.
Exactly. They come in standard sizes like mini ITX, micro ATX, and ATX, but crucially, they come with longevity support. That means the platform will be available for purchase for a long time, which is key for industrial deployments.
Ah, right. And their specs, what kind of features do they offer?
They support large amounts of DDR5 memory, up to 192 gigabit, and offer DDR4 versions too for scenarios where cost is critical. You get PCIe Gen 54 slots, support for multiple high-resolution displays up to four 4K displays.
Four displays.
And advanced networking options up to 10 gigabit Ethernet. A key feature highlighted in the sources is BIOS-level upgrade support. This allows systems initially built with 12th gen Intel CPUs to be upgraded all the way to 14th gen just by flashing the BIOS.
Wow.
Which is incredibly useful in industrial settings where replacing hardware is costly and infrequent.
That BIOS upgrade feature alone sounds like a massive selling point for industrial users who need that long-term compatibility.
Okay, what about MSI? They have a new one too.
Yes, MSI introduced the MPG B850i EDGE TIIVI. This is a premium mini ITX motherboard, again for AMD's AM5 platform. It's all about packing maximum performance and features into the smallest possible form factor.
Premium mini ITX definitely sounds like fitting a lot into a small box. What's packed in there?
It is. It boasts a powerful 8+2+1 phase VRM design and uses a high-quality 10-layer PCB. It supports fast DDR5 memory up to 8200 MTs. One standout feature is a CPU-connected PCIe 5.0 MJO slot that includes active cooling.
Active cooling, like a little fan on the M.2 drive.
Exactly. A small fan and heat sink directly on the M.2 drive itself. We were just talking about heat issues with high-performance components, right? This directly addresses that, especially in cramped mini ITX cases.
Yeah, that's smart. Yep. What else? It also features the very latest Wi-Fi 7 standard, 5 gigabit Ethernet LAN, Bluetooth 5.4, and comprehensive input-output, including a 20 Gbps USB-C port. It really brings high-end connectivity and features typically found on larger ATX boards into that tiny mini ITX footprint. Mm-hmm. The source speculated its price might be slightly lower than MSI's full-size ATX counterpart, perhaps around $225 compared to $310.
Interesting. So whether you're nostalgic for orange boards, building a rugged system for a factory floor, or cramming a powerhouse into a tiny case, it's clear manufacturers are releasing new motherboards with very specific features tailored to those diverse needs.
And all these systems need places to store their data, naturally.
Perfect transition. Let's dive into storage devices themselves. The sources cover quite a range, from standard network storage to high-end controllers and even clever physical adapters.
What's fascinating here is seeing the innovation across the board, serving everything from, you know, homes and small offices right up to data centers.
Tell me about Synology's new NAS first, the DS425 Plus Tone.
All right. Synology launched the DiskStation DS425 Plus, a compact 4-bay network-attached storage device. It's positioned for users who have, let's say, moderate storage needs, maybe for backing up multiple computers or sharing files within a home or small office, but still expect professional-grade features like robust data protection and application support.
Okay, so good features, moderate scale. What are the key specs on this model?
It supports up to 80 terabytes of raw storage capacity across its 4 bays. Mm. Connectivity includes both a 2.5 gigabit Ethernet port for faster network transfers and a standard 1 gigabit port.
2.5 gig, nice.
Yeah. It also features M.2 NVMe slots, which can be used for very fast caching to accelerate performance or even for an all-flash storage pool. It runs Synology's well-regarded DSM operating system and supports their suite of applications for things like creating a private cloud, automated backups, or running a surveillance system.
Okay.
The source also noted it follows Synology's specific drive compatibility list, though they mentioned a new third-party validation program being in the works. It became available recently on June 4th, 2025.
Got it. So that's a solid option for typical NAS needs. What about something for the absolute high-performance end? You mentioned HighPoint.
Yes, HighPoint has announced new add-in cards for Gen 5 NVMe drives, specifically the Rocket 7604A and 1604A. These are designed to provide extremely high performance in a compact form factor for demanding workloads.
Extremely high. How high are we talking in terms of performance, like speeds?
The sources claim they can achieve over 50 gigabytes per second of real-world transfer speed.
50?
Yeah, 50 gigabytes. They do this by essentially doubling the performance potential of standard 4-port NVMe solutions by leveraging the full capabilities of PCIe Gen 5 technology.
That's an immense amount of data transfer speed. What else makes these stand out besides just the raw speed?
Well, they use a custom PCIe Gen 5 switching architecture powered by a Broadcom chip. They're designed for industrial or edge computing environments, coming in a compact, half-height, half-length form factor, much shorter than many high-end add-in cards, at just 167 millimeters long.
Small footprint.
Right. And critically, they have a custom, self-contained cooling solution with a heatsink and fan, specifically to manage the significant heat generated by those high-speed Gen 5 drives.
Ah, cooling again. Essential.
Definitely. The RAID model, the 7604A, includes extensive management features like diagnostics, web-based or command line interfaces, proactive cooling controls, environmental monitoring, and even Opal hardware encryption.
Wow, full feature set. And for that level of performance and features, what's the price point mentioned in the sources? Is it enterprise level expensive?
They are priced at $999 for the RAID add-in card and $899 for the switch model. HighPoint is positioning this as an exceptional value given the performance class, especially compared to maybe traditional enterprise solutions.
Okay, under a grand for that speed is interesting. And finally, something a bit more niche, but sounds like it solves a very specific physical problem, IC-Dock.
Right, IC-Dock revealed their CP155 adapter. This is essentially a mechanical converter designed specifically for E1S SSDs.
E1S SSDs, those are those ruler-shaped drives you see in servers and data centers, right? What problem does this adapter actually solve for them?
Exactly. E1S SSDs themselves come in different physical thicknesses, commonly 5.9 millimeters and 8.8 or 1 millimeter. However, the standard enterprise server infrastructure often uses bays designed specifically for the thicker 9.5 millimeter E1S enclosures.
Ah, okay, so they don't fit snugly.
Precisely. This adapter allows those thinner E1S drives to physically fit perfectly into the standard 9.5 millimeter slots, ensuring connector positions and mounting points align correctly.
So it's really just about making sure the drives fit physically and securely in standard server bays.
Primarily, yes. But it also adds value by enhancing passive heat dissipation. The adapter has an all-metal enclosure and includes thermal pads, which helps draw heat away from the SSD, which is crucial for managing temperatures in those high-density server environments.
Mm-hmm.
It even has a little window so you can see the SSD's activity LED.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple but effective solution for system integrators and data centers who need to deploy E1S drives of varying thicknesses into a unified infrastructure.
It's fascinating to see innovation even at the level of physical adapters, just making things fit better. So whether it's consumer NAS, extreme performance RAID, or making enterprise drives fit, there's a lot happening in the storage world.
And tying storage back to that AI thread we mentioned earlier, one key development highlighted in the sources is Synology integrating AI capabilities directly into their products.
Yes, specifically their B Drive and Office Suite. This feels like it raises that important question about where the AI processing actually happens locally on your device or out in the cloud somewhere.
It does, and Synology's approach seems very focused on bringing intelligence closer to the data, prioritizing privacy and efficiency by keeping things local where possible.
Tell me about the B-Drive update first, B-Drive 2.0.
Right. B-Drive 2.0, currently in beta for macOS with Windows planned, introduces a feature called Deep Search. This is a really smart search engine that runs entirely locally on your computer where your B drive is attached.
Entirely locally. So my photos and documents aren't being sent off to some cloud service for analysis. That's the key thing.
Correct. The entire indexing and search process happens right there on your machine. This is a big deal for addressing concerns about data privacy when using AI features, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. What kind of AI-powered search can it do? What makes it deep?
Well, it allows for advanced natural language queries across all your stored files. It uses optical character recognition, OCR, to find text inside images and documents.
Okay, standard OCR.
But more impressively, it uses AI to understand the content of images and generate descriptions based on scenes, objects, or themes. So you could search for something like sunrise at the beach, and it could potentially find relevant photos even if they aren't tagged. It also supports multiple languages.
It sounds incredibly useful for finding buried files or photos without having to upload everything. What are the system requirements for this local processing? Does it need a powerful machine?
According to the source, for the current macOS beta, you need macOS 15 or later, a Mac with Apple Silicon, like an M1, M2, or M3 chip, and at least 16 gigabytes of RAM.
Okay, decent specs needed then. So that's AI on a direct attached device. What about Synology's Office Suite, which runs on their NAS devices? How's AI being integrated there?
Synology Office 3.7.0 beta now includes AI support, accessible on compatible DSM 7.2.2 plus NAS models through their AI console 1.1 beta. This integration does use external large language models for the heavy listing, but the management and interaction happen via the NAS interface.
Okay, so it talks to the cloud, but you manage it locally. How does AI help within the Office Suite apps, documents, slides, spreadsheets?
Across both the document and slides applications, the AI assistant offers features like revising text, proofreading, translating text, and generating customized responses, and it can potentially reference content within the document you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
You can select a block of text and get quick AI options, or even translate entire documents into predefined languages.
Translating entire presentations while keeping formatting sounds incredibly useful for anyone working across different languages. That could be a huge time saver.
It's definitely a strong point highlighted in the source for the slides app specifically, yeah.
What about spreadsheets? Does AI help with formulas and stuff?
Spreadsheets currently have more limited AI use cases based on the source. It's primarily focused on things like generating formulas or explaining how existing functions work. The AI assistant operates through a separate dialogue box.
Okay.
And while it understands multiple languages, features like tone refinement aren't really applicable here, and inserting generated content simply puts it into a single cell. It doesn't currently seem to leverage or analyze existing data within the sheet to build more complex solutions, at least not in this beta.
Gotcha. The sources also mentioned a de-identification feature separate from the main Office apps. What's that about?
Yes, that's available via the AI console, not directly integrated into the Office apps themselves. It's a tool specifically for identifying and potentially masking sensitive information within documents, and it also runs locally on the NAS.
Locally, okay.
But it has specific requirements. And by 86 CPU, at least 8 GB of RAM, and Docker, or what Synology calls Container Manager, running on the NAS. Each language pack for de-identification also uses about 1 GB of RAM, so monitoring your NAS memory usage is recommended if you use it.
Okay, good to know. So the bigger picture here is that Synology is actively embedding AI into their ecosystem using a kind of hybrid approach. Purely local AI on the B drive for privacy-focused search, and then NAS-based features for productivity that leverage external models but are managed locally. Interesting balance.
It absolutely shows a trend towards bringing AI capabilities closer to where the data resides, which is an important consideration for many users and businesses, balancing power with privacy.
Definitely. Now let's zoom in on a specific piece of hardware with a deep dive review from the sources the B1 Black Opal X570 PCIe 5.0 SSD. This serves as a great case study on how different internal components impact real-world performance, not just those headline theoretical numbers.
What's particularly interesting about this drive, as the review points out, is that it uses a less common controller, the Maxiotech AMAP 1806, which is a Chinese-designed controller, and notably it's a DRAM-less controller.
DRAM-less. For a high-speed PCIe 5.0 drive, how does that affect performance? Especially since many high-end SSDs tout their dedicated DRAM cache.
Right. Most high-performance SSDs use a small amount of DRAM as a super-fast index for the data stored on a NAND flash, which helps speed up accessing data, particularly for random operations.
Mm-hmm.
While DRAM-less drives rely on a feature called NVMe Host Memory Buffer, or HMB, which uses a tiny portion of the system's RAM for this purpose, the absence of that dedicated high-speed DRAM cache can impact performance consistency, especially under heavy workloads or with lots of small random reads and writes. It's a cost-saving measure, typically.
Okay, so potential consistency issues. Let's look at what the value found in terms of performance. How did it do in those peak synthetic benchmarks like Crystal Disk Mark? Did it hit its advertised speeds?
In a synthetic test like Crystal Disk Mark, designed to show theoretical maximums, the BYUN X570 actually put up an impressive sequential read speed of almost 14.9 gigabits.
Wow, nearly 15.
Yeah, which even exceeded its advertised 14.5 gigabits spec. So that shows its theoretical peak potential is very high. However, the review noted that performance dropped off significantly with fewer commands in the queue at a queue depth of 1 or Q1, and its random read performance at Q1 was described as very low for a modern SSD, particularly a Gen 5 one.
So capable of great bursts under ideal conditions, but maybe not so quick for typical single-task requests.
Exactly. When moving to more practical real-world tests like reading a game folder or copying files, the drive was fast, but generally perform closer to the level of top-tier PCIe 4.0 drives or at the lower end of other PCIe 5.0 drives reviewed, rather than competing with the absolute fastest Gen 5 drives.
Interesting.
Its copy performance when the drive was nearly full, 80% full, didn't drop as sharply as some others, which was an interesting observation in the review.
Okay. How did it handle gaming workloads specifically? Things like loading times?
The review found its gaming performance, tested using tools like Direct Storage and 3DMark Storage benchmarks, wasn't as strong as other PCIe 5.0 SSDs. It placed more in line with faster PCIe 4.0 models in those tests, indicating it couldn't feed data to the graphics card quite as quickly as the top competitors in the Gen 5 space.
So maybe not the best choice if gaming is your absolute top priority, but it wasn't all compromises. Were there areas where it showed strength?
Yes, the review highlighted solid write performance after its faster SLC cache portion was filled. That's a small area of the NAND configured for faster single-bit writes. It maintained over 1,000 millibits minimum speed even during sustained heavy writes after about 350 gigabits of data had been written continuously.
Okay, sustained writes were decent.
And it also performed relatively well in office tasks, according to the PCMark 10 benchmark, even sitting ahead of some other mainstream PCIe 5.0 drives in that specific test scenario.
Right. The review also mentioned it comes without its own cooler and saw thermal throttling. That sounds problematic for Gen 5.
That's a critical point for all PCIe 5.0 drives, really. The review found that without sufficient cooling, like a motherboard heatsink or a dedicated one, its temperature quickly went over 70 degrees C, which caused performance to drop significantly compared to tests where it was actively cooled.
Ouch.
High-performance NVMe drives, especially Gen 5, generate a lot of heat, and an effective cooling solution is absolutely essential to maintain peak performance. Its power consumption under load, up to 9 watts, was also noted as being higher than some more efficient alternatives.
Okay. So, pulling it all together, what's the main takeaway from this review of the B1X570? Is it worth considering?
Well, the B1X570 is an interesting technical demonstration, pushing high theoretical speeds with a DRAM-less design and a less common controller. It shows strengths in specific areas like sustained writes and maybe office tasks. But the practical takeaway from the review is that its real-world performance, particularly in gaming and random access, combined with its significant cooling requirement, and its price point around €220 for 2TB, means it sits somewhere awkwardly between top PCIe 4.0 drives and the fastest PCIe 5.0 options.
Mm-hmm.
The review suggests that for the price, depending on what you need the drive for, you might find better overall value from a faster, slightly more expensive PCIe 5.0 drive, or perhaps just a larger capacity PCIe 4.0 drive. It's a good illustration that peak synthetic specs aren't the whole story for real-world usage. You know,
that's a great reminder to look beyond just the headline numbers when choosing components.
Absolutely. And finally, to wrap things up, let's look ahead. One source gives us a peek into Kioxia's plans for the future, both in terms of increasing production and developing entirely new kinds of storage technology.
This provides a really interesting glimpse into the next few years and the crucial NAND flash and storage market from one of the major players, Kioxia, formerly Toshiba Memory.
Right. What's their big picture production goal? Are they scaling up? They've stated an ambitious goal to roughly double its NAND flash bit production volume by fiscal year 2029-2030.
Double production? Why is such a massive increase projected? What's driving that?
Well, they, along with other manufacturers, anticipate a sharp rise in demand for mass storage products built on NAND flash, driven significantly by the insatiable needs of data centers for AI applications and just the ever-growing volume of data everywhere.
AI again.
Yeah. Doubling capacity is their planned response to help meet that projected demand. They also highlighted their ongoing collaboration with SanDisk, noting that together they hold around 30% of the global market.
Okay, so increasing the volume of standard NAND is one thing, but what are their plans for developing new types of storage technology? Anything exciting there?
Here's where it gets really forward-looking and technically exciting. Kioxia plans to develop something they're calling a super-high IOPS SSD. They are aiming for over 10 million input-output operations per second.
10 million IOPS.
That's
significantly higher than even the current top enterprise SSDs, which are maybe in the range of 3 to 5 million IOPS, right?
Exactly. It's a huge leap.
How are they proposing to achieve that kind of performance? What's the secret sauce?
Well, this drive won't rely on standard TLC NAND memory, which is what most SSDs use today. Instead, it will be based on their proprietary technology called XL Flash.
XL Flash.
This is a 1-bit per cell technology similar to older, faster SLC NAND, but with a special architecture specifically designed for extremely low read latencies.
Low latency is crucial for quick response times. How much lower are we talking compared to regular NAND?
They are targeting read latencies of just 3 to 5 microseconds. To put that in perspective, standard TLC NAND typically has read latencies around 30 to 40 microseconds. So XL Flash is designed to be about 10 times faster in terms of how quickly it can respond to a request.
10 times faster latency.
Yeah. This XL Flash technology is really positioned in the storage hierarchy as what's often called storage class memory. Think of the traditional memory pyramid. You have very fast but expensive and small DRAM HBM at the top. And slower, cheaper, much larger NAND flash SSDs and hard drives lower down. Storage class memory, like XL Flash, is designed to bridge that performance gap. It offers much lower latency than standard NAND, while being potentially more cost-effective and higher capacity than DRAM.
So it fits in between DRAM and NAND.
Pretty much. They also plan to develop CXL-connected XL Flash products, leveraging that new standard for connecting memory and storage devices with high bandwidth and low latency.
Okay, so that's essentially creating a completely new tier of storage performance for specific workloads like high-speed databases or parts of AI systems that need faster access than NAND provides, but don't need the full speed and cost of DRAM. Makes sense. What else is on their roadmap? any other exotic tech.
Well, even faster and positioned as an alternative to DRAM, they are developing OCTRAM in collaboration with Nanya, although the source noted this is not market ready yet, still very much R&D.
Okay.
And then on the other end of the capacity spectrum, they plan extremely high capacity QLC, SSDs, QLCs, 4 bits per cell, allowing for higher density targeting capacities over 100 terabytes.
Over 100 terabytes on a single SSD.
Yep. These massive drives are specifically designed to compete with traditional hard drives on total cost of ownership for warm or cold data storage in data centers, basically replacing spinning rust.
Right, for archiving and less frequently accessed data. And their next generation of their core NAND flash technology, are they still improving that?
Oh, yes. They also provided forecasts for their 10th generation 3D NAND, which they call BiCS10. They expect significant improvements there, too. A 59% increase in areal density, pushing the layer count up to 332.
332 layers.
A 33% faster internal NAND interface speed at 4800 MTs. A slight but welcome 5% lower read latency at 33 microseconds. And improved energy efficiency overall.
So, Kioxia's future looks incredibly diverse. Massive growth in standard NAND production driven by AI demand. Introducing entirely new, super fast storage class memory tiers like XL Flash to bridge performance gaps, pushing QLC capacities past 100 TB to challenge hard drives, and continuously improving their core flash technology. It really underscores how the landscape of data storage is becoming more specialized and layered, doesn't it?
It's a fascinating picture of the future storage market responding to the demands of data growth and new computing paradigms like AI, absolutely.
Wow, we really covered a huge range of ground in this deep dive based on your sources. It's kind of amazing seeing it all laid out.
It is quite a bit, isn't it?
From the macro strategic investments in the U.S. semiconductor industry aiming to reshape domestic production to the bleeding edge memory tech like HBM4 that's absolutely critical for the next wave of AI accelerators.
We also explored new motherboards hitting the market, showing how different platforms are being designed to cater to diverse needs, whether that's compact, high-performance systems, rugged industrial applications, or even, you know, bringing back some nostalgic flair.
And we dove deep into storage innovations themselves, looking at everything from capable new NAS devices for home and small business to incredibly fast PCIe Gen 5 RAID controllers designed for intense workloads, and even clever physical adapters solving practical problems in data centers, just making things fit.
Plus, it was fascinating to see how AI is starting to integrate directly with storage and personal data, with Synology pushing truly local AI search on devices like B-Drive for privacy and adding AI features to their office suite running on the NAS, kind of exploring that balance point between cloud power and local control.
Yeah, that local AI piece feels really significant. And that review of the B1 X570 gave us a great practical case study showing how different controller designs and the lack of components like DRAM cache can significantly impact real-world SSD performance. And reminding us that cooling is still king for Gen 5 drives. Can't forget the heatsink.
Definitely not. And finally, Kioxia's future roadmap painted a compelling picture of massive capacity increases alongside the development of entirely new, super fast storage class memory tiers like XL Flash, showing a storage market that's becoming increasingly diverse to meet specialized needs.
So bringing it back to you, the listener, what does all this innovation mean? Whether you're planning your next PC build, managing data at work, or just curious about the foundational technology powering the AI revolution and everything else, these developments show relentless progress across every layer of computing hardware and software. It's moving fast.
And this leaves us with something interesting to consider, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
As storage becomes faster, higher capacity, and AI capabilities move closer and closer to our data, sometimes right onto our local devices, how might this shift the choices you make about where you keep your digital life?
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that balance evolving between performance, privacy, and cost in the tech you use every day?
Yeah.
It seems the future of data management isn't a one-size-fits-all approach anymore. It's getting more nuanced.
That's a great thought to end on. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us into your sources. We hope you found some truly fascinating insights and maybe even a few surprises along the way.